everyone, and welcome back to Bree, the Product Hunt Daily Podcast. I'm Mia.
And I'm Milo. We've got a packed rundown for you today, so let's jump right in.
First up, DeepSeek has officially released its V4 Flash model, and it's being positioned as frontier level. That's a big one.
We're also looking at a brand new way to run coding agents from your phone, a terminal that can dress up like a Game Boy, a marketplace for specialized AI agents, and an AI-native way to lease office space.
I'm sure I'm just creating. DeepSeek has officially released the model they previewed earlier, and the product page is making a big claim. Frontier agent intelligence at flash prices, with what it calls a massive leap in agentic capabilities. It says the new build beats V4 Pro, which was the preview model, on key benchmarks.
Right. And this release is drawing a lot of community attention, including some genuinely impressive sounding score jumps. One commenter points out that the released model is the same architecture and size as the preview, yet its score on one terminal benchmark jumped from roughly 62 to nearly 83, and on another coding benchmark from about 7 to 54. And that same commenter claims it beats V4 Pro on every benchmark in DeepSeek's table while activating far fewer parameters. The weights and inference code are already out under MIT, which is worth noting.
And the pricing is aggressive. 14 cents per million uncatched input tokens, 28 cents per million output tokens. Some in the comments are crediting DeepSeek for a GPT price cut, and there's chatter that OpenAI may be price matching. But there's healthy skepticism too. One commenter asks whether anyone outside DeepSeek has reproduced those eval numbers and notes the MIT weights make independent verification possible. Another makes the point that what really matters is cost per completed task, not the raw token price. There's also a new iOS companion app out there called Port 22, and it's solving a very specific pain point for people running coding agents on a Mac. It attaches to Claude Code, Codex, or OpenCode sessions already open in a terminal, with no wrapper or new terminal needed, so you can see which agents are working and which are stuck.
The creator's story is relatable. They started a long agent run, came back 20 minutes later, and found it waiting for permission on a single file edit. Port 22 pushes a notification when an agent finishes or needs approval, and you approve the actual option on screen rather than guessing a keystroke. The name references port 22, the SSH port. It works with open source terminals like Ghosty, Kitty, Alacrity, WaysTerm, TMX, and Terminal.app, though not Warp or an IDE's built-in one. Pairing rides your iCloud and off-home network, a secure relay forwards the session that the developer says cannot read your code.
It's free for one Mac and two sessions with every feature on, positioned as not a trial. The site floats $20 a year for unlimited sessions. Status is in flux, though. The app is still in beta waitlist, and a comment says the App Store review is taking unexpectedly long. People did praise being able to read options off the live session, though one commenter asked whether the approval card carries enough context. Now for something a little more playful. Terminal Candy is a native macOS terminal you can skin into almost anything, like a Game Boy, a cassette deck, or a Pip-Boy, with the terminal window drawn right onto the skin. Underneath, it's a real terminal, not a wrapper.
Right, it's built on SwiftTerm with a real PTY, full terminal emulation, scroll back, mouse support, and multi-session, fully native with no Electron. The skin builder magic wands the background out of any image, draws the terminal window, and picks a palette, and it loads live with no restart. It has 84 built-in palettes and GPU-composited CRT effects like scan lines, phosphor glow, and curvature. There's a global hotkey with no accessibility prompt, and you can strip the skin for a standard terminal while keeping the same session.
Commenters say the killer feature is agent alerts, giving sound plus a doc bounce when Claude Code or Codex needs your input. Pricing is a free download, a full 14-day trial with up to 5 skin slots, then a one-time $10 license, no subscription. First 100 hunters can use a discount code, and publishing 10 approved community skins makes the license free. One note, there's a small platform conflict, with the launch post saying Apple Silicon only, while the FAQ says it runs on both Apple Silicon and Intel Macs, with no Windows or Linux build. Copaya is a marketplace for specialized AI agents, pitched as a no-code platform where experts turn their knowledge into an agent they can sell. It's priced per message instead of per hour, and creators keep 70% of what an agent earns, while Copai handles discovery, billing, payments, and trust.
The marketing claims built-in evaluation testing, encrypted knowledge bases, multi-agent orchestration, and a granular pay-per-use ledger. Agents can also be exported or imported from the marketplace into a creator's own site. The team is just 4 people, and this launch is the first time they've been public. Co-founder Meghna highlighted a custom interface library used in chat and answer generation, especially for data and game visualization.
The marketplace listings give a sense of the range, from a study companion for a university course, to a trip planner that pulls context from memory and delegates to specialist sub-agents, to an EU immigration consultation agent rated 5 out of 5, and an Instagram growth agent that reads signals like saves, shares, and watch time. The community had sharp follow-up questions, though, like whether stale expertise gets reevaluated when nothing changes on the expert's side, who's liable for wrong or outdated answers, and whether conversation state persists between messages. Finally, Tandem is a San Francisco-based AI-native office leasing brokerage. The pitch is that every agent works with what they call an agentic brain that constantly watches the market, tracking what came available that morning, what a similar unit actually leased for last month, and which landlords are flexible on term. The company says its agents have seen every office building in the city, and it's live in San Francisco, New York, and Boston.
The argument is that office leasing is broken because thousands of spaces lack a single view, and brokers rely on personal memory and relay chains that take days. Tandem claims full market access, next-day tours, and expert negotiation, bringing every available office across landlords, broker listings, and off-market opportunities into one place. It's free for tenants, like a traditional broker, and gets paid by the landlord when a lease is signed.
But a community commenter pushed back hard, arguing that AI doesn't fix the incentive conflict, it hides it. If Tandem is paid by the landlord as a percentage of rent, the commenter asked, what stops the agent from being extremely good at finding you a building you can't afford or that overcommits you? It's a fair challenge, and given everything else on this show today, a good reminder that the underlying incentives in any deal still matter no matter how smart the agent is. Let's start with Nudge for Me, an AI follow-up agent from the team behind Snooze, which just launched on Product Hunt. It scans the conversations you've already sent, finds threads where someone never replied, and drafts a natural follow-up right inside your mailbox. It starts in draft mode by default, so you review each opportunity and choose to send, edit, or dismiss it. It supports Gmail, Outlook, and standard IMAP or SMTP setups, and the site also lists Yahoo and iCloud. And it stops the moment the other person actually replies.
So the pitch is basically curing that quiet killer of lost opportunities, deals, partnerships, and customer conversations that just die because nobody followed up. The team says they built it after processing millions of emails and noticing that exact pattern. There's some history here, too. Snooze itself launched on Product Hunt 3 years ago and took the number one product of the day spot.
Reception is mixed positive. One commenter said they already use it daily, and it surfaced 2 neglected deals, quoting that it paid for itself in the first week. But there are plenty of open questions. How it decides what counts as a missed reply, whether it guards against false positives on threads that ended on purpose, whether it can tell a warm thread from a cold one, and whether conditions get rechecked at send time. One commenter worried specifically about pointing it at a cold list, where no reply is the normal state. Privacy concerns also came up around sensitive content passing through the service. Next, Dicedash, an AI-native business intelligence platform, shipped native audit logs on August 1st, according to a blog post from its founder and CEO, Max Musing. It's an organization-wide chronological record of three kinds of activity: access events like sign-ins, which dashboards and tables were opened, and exports, query events for every query run, whether by a person or by the AI, and configuration events covering changes to groups, permissions, data source access, and settings.
So each entry carries who did it, what they did, and when. And the AI part is worth calling out. The log records the question asked, the SQL that ran, and who the AI was working for. That's built for security reviews. You can stream the logs to a security information and event management system or export them on demand. Retention is configurable to match compliance policy, and the audit events are reachable through the developer platform API.
It joins existing enterprise controls like single sign-on, skim provisioning, role-based access control, and row-level security, and it sits alongside Basedash's SOC 2 Type 2 compliance. It's available on the enterprise plan today. Max said the team has used these logs internally for months. A recent request to find who touched a production data source took about 10 seconds instead of a day of digging through Slack. Commenters welcomed the timing, with one saying AI query attribution was exactly what would unblock them. Open questions remain on whether the log stores full query text or just metadata, and what that means for reporting. Sake Stack launched on Product Hunt, and it does one thing. It syncs Stripe billing data into Google Sheets. It mirrors charges, invoices, customers, subscriptions, payouts, and disputes into structured tabs, updates hourly, and uses read-only Stripe access. The first sync backfills 6 months of history. There's a 14-day free trial with no credit card required, and the sheet lives in your own Google Drive.
The founders explain that most export tools poll by creation date, so later changes, refunds, subscription updates, disputes, quietly go stale. Sync Stack, instead, reads Stripe's event stream and updates rows whenever the underlying data actually changes. It's a three-person team that previously shipped a tool called AutoSync, which polled by creation date. They rebuilt this properly on nights and weekends around day jobs. And before writing code, they interviewed teams. 4 out of 6, unprompted, described calculating commissions or partner revenue share and struggling to net out fees and refunds. So they frame Sync Stack as a payout tool, not just a sync tool, and not a dashboard or BI replacement.
Commenters had practical questions: whether sync runs in near real time through webhooks or on a polling schedule, and what minimum Stripe permissions it needs. There's also a real reporting trade-off in how a March charge disputed in August gets handled, whether it mutates in place or appends a correction. And people asked whether Apple and Google in-app purchase rails are on the roadmap, since a Stripe-only view might cover only about a third of some users' revenue. Gellycraft is the featured product here, a native writing app for Mac and iPad built in Swift and aimed at students and academics. Developer Noah Page prices it at $14.99 with a buy-once model, no account, no subscription. It combines a built-in reference manager with automatic citations using APA, MLA, Chicago, and Harvard templates, including inline citations. Beyond that, there's paginated rich text editing, word and page counts, color-coded folders, drag-and-drop reordering, an archive, and PDF or DOCX export.
The details are revealing for a first app. It needs iPadOS 26 or macOS 26 or later, supports family sharing for up to 6 people, comes in at just over 3 megabytes, and the developer says no data is collected from the app. Noah described EssayCraft as his first app, built after 2 years of teaching himself Swift while studying creative writing at university, the whole goal being to let writers write and leave reference management to the app.
In the community discussion, commenters repeatedly praised the no subscription, no account model as a real feature rather than a pricing footnote, and called the built-in citation manager the main selling point. One open question remains. Whether a draft started on the iPad syncs automatically to the Mac in the background, or whether you have to manually open iCloud Drive each time. Finally, Agent Micro is a free, open-source menu bars companion for the Mac that supervises parallel Codex desktop and 151 tasks running at the same time. It shows each task's state, project, elapsed time, and results at a glance, and opens the matching Codex desktop conversation in one click. It reads local session metadata only. It never uploads prompts, responses, source code, command output, or task history. It needs macOS 14 or later, supports Codex Desktop or the 151, and requires no account. The maker is clear that it's not affiliated with OpenAI or Codex Bar.
The menu uses 5 deliberate states, and the attention design is genuinely clever. Blue means thinking, green means there's an unread result, orange means the task needs input from you right now, red means an error, and white means idle. Base mode needs no accessibility permission. The optional enhanced detection is opt-in, reads visible labels only, and never clicks, types, or approves anything. Commenters praised the orange Act Now state for being attention-focused and the no accessibility base mode.
But the critique is also sharp. Remote SSH Codex sessions aren't visible, so it's essentially same machine only. The orange state can be inferred from metadata, which means a long-running tool call can look identical to an unanswered prompt. Commenters asked for the timeout threshold to be documented as a possible false positive source. And idle versus lost for good both show as the same white state, with elapsed time called a weak proxy for actually being stuck. We're starting with a new app called Terminal Widget, a one-time purchase that brings terminal output to your desktop and home screen widgets on Mac, iPhone, and iPad. The developer says they built it after struggling to find a good way to show script output, API updates, and charts on the desktop. And they describe running a Mac full of widgets tracking network speeds, sales numbers, and API health all mirrored to the iPhone. The community picked up on 3 real concerns before buying. First, staleness. Since widgets are read at a glance, a script that fails quietly at 3 in the morning leaves the last good number on screen, so a broken monitor looks identical to a healthy service. Commenters asked for a declared maximum age and visible decay, or a last updated stamp, rather than just a refresh interval.
And the next 2 concerns are about trust and environment. Credentials. Scripts need API keys to pull in sales or service health, so people wanted to know whether the app hands everything to the script or offers its own secure storage once output mirrors to the phone. And execution. Does a script run as your normal user or inside a sandbox? And does a widget get a fresh shell or inherit your path additions from the Zeisha config?
One commenter called turning raw script output into sparklines a genuinely useful primitive. And another argued the next winners will be apps that act on information, not just display it. The product site lists the universal app at just under $20, with iCloud Sync across Apple devices, plus a full command line interface and shortcuts actions. The next up, Yamanone 3D, a free browser experience that lets you walk through an E235 train carriage on Tokyo's Yamano line, sit down, watch the city pass, listen to announcements, and get off at stations. The creator made it for realistic train sounds and city ambience to have in the background while studying or working. There are no missions or scores, so it's meant as a calm place you can just leave running.
It launched on Product Hunt, where a community post marked the project reaching 100 points and thanked the supporters. And there's an optional Buy Me a Coffee link. Reactions have been warm, with one commenter saying it looks so real, another calling it very creative, and several praising the immersive ambient sound. One person even said it feels more specific than the coffee shop noise generators they'd used for years.
The project is described as still evolving, and the creator is asking for feedback on the atmosphere, realism, performance, and anything missing. Community members also raised open questions rather than confirmed features. Whether the rendering slows or pauses when the tab loses focus, given laptop fan noise and battery worries, whether the in-scene time of day matches your real clock, and whether the ride loops continuously or eventually stops at the end of the line. That wraps up today's rundown. We kicked off with DeepSeek's official release of its V4 Flash model called Frontier in its own product materials.
And we toured the week's launches. Port 22 putting Mac coding agents on your phone, Terminal Candy making your macOS terminal a Game Boy, and a whole marketplace of specialized AI agents in CoPi.
Plus Office Leasing, an AI BI platform, a Stripe to Sheets sync, and more. Some big, some small, all worth a peek.
That's it for this episode. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.